turn their Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We've been looking at the kings of Israel and Judah, and we haven't done all the kings by any means, but we kind of hit some of the highlights. Some of the highlights of the kings. And the period of the kings expands about approximately 400 years, give or take a little bit. And how did the people end up with having a king in the first place? You'll remember that the people rejected God as their king. They wanted their own king. They wanted to be like all the other nations and have their own king. And although Israel had had some really highlight real kings, some men that were just on fire for the Lord, generally speaking, the kings, it was a big failure as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. And at the end of the kings, they're deported into captivity. And just speaking of failures, I just want to point out that the Bible does not hide the failures of the heroes of faith. The Bible was not written by men. It was inspired by God. And if it was inspired by men, it would look completely different, right? It looked a lot more like a social media post. I mean, social media, you kind of leave out the... You don't take selfies of your bad hair day. We don't take selfies of our moral failures. And we don't take selfies when we're impatient with loved ones, right? And so the Lord, he's a debtor to no man, and he lays it all out there, and this is how it really is. And the Lord's not impressed when we try to impress others. However, as we've noticed from some of the kings, the Lord takes notice when that person has humility, when that person has a humble heart before the Lord. All right, if we could read together 2 Chronicles chapter 34, not the whole thing, but in just a bit of background, Josiah, he's not the last king, but he's the last good king. We're really getting down to the end of the kings. So at this point, Israel, a lot of them have already been taken into captivity by the Assyrians, but the Babylonians are going to come as well. And anyways, we're almost at the end of the kings. And Josiah, he's not only the last good king, but we find out today what makes Josiah special above all the other kings before him, including David. So, first one, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he broke in pieces and made dust of them, and strewed upon the graves of them that had sacrificed to them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, and their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and made Ziah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Johaz the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered out of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair it and to amend the house. And we'll go down to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they do it. And they gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and in the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard these words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, the servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shaphan, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the word which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you did humble yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled yourself before me, and did rend your clothes and weep before me, I have even heard you also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. And the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart, and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days he departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And I'm going to skip down to verse 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. So Josiah, he's a young king. He's 8 years old when he begins to reign. He reigns 31 years. Anyone 8 years old here this morning? Reagan. So, Reagan, King Josiah was your age when he began to reign. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And Josiah's life, King Josiah's life, very much parallels the life of a believer that's walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are some of the things that we want to take note of this morning. So Josiah, he was seeking the Lord. He was involved in cleansing, in building, in delighting. He had a humble heart. There was celebrating. There was a little bit later. There was a turning, and there was a mourning for him. So he's 8 years old when he begins to reign, and he does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And in 2 Kings 22, so right now we're going to consider King Josiah seeking the Lord. And just as we launch into this, I want to point out that in 2 Kings chapter 22, it tells us who his mother is. His mother's name is Adaiah. And a mother plays a tremendous role in turning young, tender hearts to the Lord. And we should never underestimate the value of a mother after God's own heart, who pours her heart to the Lord in prayer for the soul of the little ones, and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And having said all that, I'd like to say too that if a child turns away from the Lord, we don't put that blame at all on the mother. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's never underestimate the love and the prayers and the care of a mother for a young child and pointing them in the direction of the Lord. So Josiah, he seeks after the Lord, we read in verse 3, and for the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So he was 8 when he began reigning, another 8 years, he's 16 years old. Anyone here is 16? Carly, 16 years old, okay, great. And so when he's 16, he begins to seek after the Lord, and it's we have to make our faith our own way. We come to meeting with our parents, but we have to make our faith our own. We have to seek after the Lord ourselves. It's so important. The Bible says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's important for us to seek after the Lord. And it thrills my heart to know of and to hear of children who they get up early to read the Word of God, to spend time in the Word and prayer. And the psalmist wrote, early will I seek thee, and that could be early in the day, but it also certainly is early in life. So early in life, seek after the Lord with all your heart. Don't wait. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And so I really encourage each one to get into the Word daily. And whether you read the Word at night or in the morning, I'm not going to fuss about the time of the day you read the Word, but please seek after the Lord, spend time in the Word. And the key is just to start reading the Word. If you're not reading the Word, just start. And if you're not sure where to start, talk to me afterwards, and we can discuss maybe where to start reading the Word of God in a private devotional time. So it says of Josiah, in 26, it says of Josiah that he declined either to the right hand or to the left. He wasn't swayed away from faith in the Lord. Verse 3, and in the 12th year he began to purge, the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. So he's 8 when he begins reign, 12 more years, now he's 20. Anyone here 20? Josiah, okay, great. So now he's cleaning up. There's been a lot of idolatry, a lot of false worship. And you'll remember from last week when we were looking at Hezekiah and how Assyria, they had come right down, they've already come through Israel, through Samaria, and they're at the border of Judah. But one night after supper, an angel of the Lord went and killed 185,000 men of the Assyrian army. But what the point here is, Israel's been conquered by an enemy territory, an enemy land. They've already taken people away, deported people away. Josiah, king of Judah, just below Israel, he not only begins at Jerusalem and goes after the idolatry and the images, but he goes into Israel, all the way to the northern parts of Israel. It says that So we do in the cities of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, and Naphtali is at the north, even unto Naphtali. And so he's very serious about cleansing. He's purging the land, and he's dealing with sin, and he's dealing it with. He's taking no captives. There's nothing going to be hidden away, snuck away. He's destroying sin and dealing with it. And the Bible tells us that we're to make no provision for the works of the flesh. And in the New Testament, we read, "I have written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." The Apostle John, he says it twice. And so we're to make no provision for the flesh, and we're to have victory over the wicked one, and to be strong in the word of God. So just King Josiah, a young man, he's strong in the word, and he's not allowing any open doors for idolatry to come in under his reign. So that's King Josiah seeking. He's seeking after the Lord at a young age. He's cleansing. And now we're going to get to building. He's building. In the 18th year, so now he's 26. Anyone 26? Anyone close to 26? Cal is close to 26. Okay. He's building. And I want to read from, I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 22. It's the parallel passage to this passage in Chronicles. And speaking of the building and the exchanging of the money, and it says, There was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. So people did the work and everyone was paid faithfully and no one was ripping anyone out. It was just, this is what it's worth and this is what it's, they dealt faithfully. And the person that is faithful in little is faithful in much. And so, those that are involved in the work of the Lord, they need to deal faithfully. But this is about building. He's building the temple. And in the Old Testament, the temple was a place of worship. The Ark of the Covenant was in the temple. The Shekinah glory rested. The Shekinah glory of God rested on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant inside the temple, and it was the worship place. The temple was the worship place, and just as the temple was the place of worship in the Old Testament, the New Testament says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who's we? The believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't have to come into this building to worship God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've been sealed with the Spirit of promise until we meet the Lord in glory and believe in the Lord Jesus. And so what are we to be building? It says that we're to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as we have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. It says that we're built up a spiritual house. And so Josiah, he was seeking the Lord, he was cleansing from idol worship and from sin, and now he's building the place of worship, and we need to be building ourselves up in the Lord, worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are to be built up a spiritual house. And now Josiah, he's going to be delighting Him. He's delighting himself in the word of the Lord. So in 2 Chronicles 34 verses 14 to 19, he really takes a deep dive into the Word of God. So he's 26 years old. He takes a deep dive into the Word of God. And the Word of God moves the heart of King Josiah. It moves the heart of King Josiah. He doesn't put barriers up for the Word. He doesn't make excuses. Well, that doesn't apply to me today because that was written so many years ago to Moses, or through Moses. He doesn't make excuses. He just dives into the Word, soaks it all in, and when he reads the Word, he's broken before the Lord with what he reads. So he delights himself in the Word, and he desires to live out the word of God in his life. He just, he doesn't read it, go on the shelf, and think, well, that was interesting. It actually affected his life. There was changes that he made. So King Josiah, he believed the word, and then he acted upon it. And he says, go inquire the Lord for me, he asks the priests. And they speak to a prophet who speaks the word of God back to Josiah, which brings us to the key in his walk with the Lord. If we could turn to verse 27. The prophetess is speaking, thus saith the Lord, and she says this, because your heart was tender, and you did humble yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the heavens to God, and humbled yourself before me, and did rend your clothes and weep before me, I have heard you also, saith the Lord. And so King Josiah, he has a humble heart before the Lord. And humility is a common thread that often runs through a lot of their kings. At some point or other, they're humble before the Lord. And the Lord pays attention to those who are of a humble heart. And even wicked kings like Ahab and Manasseh, the Lord takes notice when they humble themselves before him. And so it's Josiah, his humility, it leads to great things. So he's not ashamed of the word. He gathers the people together and he speaks the word of God to them. And in verse 30, it says that he's walking after the Lord. He's walking after the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. So King Josiah, he's seeking the Lord, he's cleansing from sin, from idol worship, he's building up the place of worship, he's delighting himself in the word, and the word affects his life, it changes his life. He has a humble heart before the Lord when he hears the word, which leads us to celebrating. And he celebrates the greatest Passover ever in the period of the kings. Actually, even before the kings, at the time of Samuel, we're told that there was, well, verse 18, there was no Passover like it, like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. That includes David, that includes Solomon. The Lord takes over, this has been the greatest Passover that has been kept. And what is the Passover? What does that signify? You'll remember, I'm not going to go to everything, but you'll remember the very first Passover. They were the children of Israel. They had been in bondage in Egypt for approximately 400 years, and the Lord delivers them, and they're to, and it's called the Passover. But what happens is they take a Passover lamb, a male of the first year without blemish, without spot. It's selected, it's set aside for a few days to be observed, to make sure that there's everything's good with it, and then they're to kill the lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel above the door, and then when God's judgment was coming through Egypt, the death angel would pass over the house, any house that had the blood applied, and any house without the blood applied, the firstborn died. So that's the Passover in a nutshell. And I guess the one thing, in short, the Bible says Jesus Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. And so we'll just look briefly, we'll look into the Passover a little bit here, and some of the things that Josiah said in order, and how that parallels our lives as believers. So right now, this is the parenthesis inside of the celebrating, when we look at this the celebrating of the Passover. Again, the Passover, it was a remembrance feast. Remember your deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we are told to remember him in the breaking of the bread. So that's our remembrance feast as as believers in the Lord Jesus, is do in remembrance of me. We remember our Savior and remember Him. He's delivered us from the bondage of sin. He's delivered us from eternal damnation. And so let's turn to chapter 35 and verse 2. And we're just going to hit on a few little highlight words here. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. He encouraged them. And we all need encouragement in the Lord, but we all need, not only do we need to be encouraged in the things of the Lord, we need to be encouraged in who the Lord is, and to this do in remembrance of Him. It's to encourage one another in the breaking of bread and to remember the Lord. Verse 3, it says that the Levites, the tribe of Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. And again, this worship, it says it shall not be a burden. And it's worshiping the Lord is not a burden, it's actually a joy and it's a delight. We need to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, give him our heart's adoration. It's not to be a burden. It says, but serve the Lord your God and his people. And again, we are created for his pleasure. And the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's really an act of worship to present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord, and we can serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible says that we're living stones, we're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, to offer up spiritual sacrifice and sacrifice of God by Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, prepare yourselves, and then there's preparation as well, preparation of heart. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Preparation of heart involves confessing our sin and keeping short accounts with the Lord. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, in worship, we need to prepare our hearts before Him. And then it says in verse 6, do according to the word of the Lord. And again, the Lord Jesus said this, do in remembrance of me. That's the word of the Lord. Breaking bread together, it's not a burden. Jesus Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And it's a wonderful thing that we can remember Him. And in breaking of bread, it's only until He comes. He's coming again. And we'll be forever with him then. And one last thing I want to draw attention to around this Passover is, and you know, there's thousands of 30,000 sheep, 3,000 bullocks, and many more thousand animals that not just society gave, but the priests gave. There was rivers of blood that flowed for this Passover. I don't want to get into all that, but what I want to draw our attention to do is in verse 14 it says, maybe it's not verse 14. Verse 15, and the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place. The singers. We're to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And so we have Josiah. That kind of is a real brief thing on the Passover. Josiah celebrating the Passover. So just to recap here, Josiah, he's seeking after the Lord at a young age. He's cleansing the land from sin. And like you see the parallel here, we need to seek after the Lord. From sin, delight ourselves in His Word, and celebrate, remembering the Lord together. Oh, a building, I missed the building. Built up a spiritual house, building our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and When we come to this thing called what I've titled Atoning, and we'll start reading in chapter 35, verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, Egypt, they would have been passing very close to Judah, but they're on the way to Euphrates, and they're not. They're not attacking Judah, but Josiah goes out against them. And we just read it, he goes out against them, but he doesn't ask the Lord about it, he just goes and does it. But Necho, king of Egypt, sent ambassadors to Josiah saying, "What do I have to do with you, king of Judah? I'm not come against you this day, but against the house for which I have warred, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy you not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and listened to the words, and did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." And his servants took him out of his chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and then brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and of their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. So Josiah, we know that he reigns he's eight when he begins to reign, and he reigns 31 years. He's 39 years old when this happens. At his death, he's 39 years old. And what's interesting, that the greatest Passover ever was when he was 26. 39 minus 26, 13 years. And 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion, and I'm not going to get into all that, other than to mention the first mention of the number 13 in Genesis. It says, in the 13th year they rebelled. Numbers, 13 is the number of rebellion. And so, Josiah, and to be clear, Josiah, he does not have a moral failure. He does not worship idols. He does not steal another man's wife. What is this? It's not even called the rebellion, but what is this thing that he does? He acts hastily without asking the Lord first. He acts hastily. And personally, I've done things which seemed really right to me, but I didn't stop and pray about it long enough, and my haste and my good intentions ended up causing a deep hurt. So the Lord speaks to Josiah through a pagan king. And it's not the first time that God speaks to someone through a pagan king. God spoke to Abraham twice through a pagan king. And if Josiah thought, you know, this is the king of Egypt, I don't really trust that this word is from the Lord, he could have went to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a prophet. At other times, he's inquired of the Lord. He could have just asked the Lord, you know, what should I do here? But he doesn't. And the king of Egypt says, you're meddling with God. And we just need to seek the Lord before we begin meddling with God. Nevertheless, Josiah, he wouldn't listen. He went ahead anyways. The king said, the king of Egypt's like, you're not supposed to be here. I don't want anything to do with you. You need to go home. You need to get out of the way. It's not about what you want. You're sticking your nose into someone else's business that you shouldn't be, etc., etc. And essentially, Josiah is told that if he's going to carry on and interfere, that God would destroy him. And in the end, that's what happened, right? So we know that king of Egypt, his word was from the Lord for two reasons. One, what he said came to pass. And number two, the Bible says in verse 23 that the words of Nietzsche are from the mouth of God. So it actually says that it verifies for us that these words were from the mouth of God. What happens to him? King Josiah, he's pierced through. And that was the end of him. So there's turning, and then there's this mourning. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah and for all the singing after his death. And Josiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And when we do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, we greatly influence everyone, people around us, and often in ways that only the Lord sees. And 2 Kings, this is what sets King Josiah apart. One more thing that sets King Josiah apart from all the rest of the kings, it says, and like unto him, that is King Josiah, that like unto him there was no king before him, and here's the key, that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither any after him arose any like him. And so that includes David. King Josiah is the king that the Bible tells us whose heart is fully committed to the Lord in all his heart, his soul, his strength. There was no one more laying his life out for the Lord than King Josiah in all of his ways. And it sounds really familiar, these words, doesn't it? Turn to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. Who else spoke something like that? It was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? And the Lord Jesus called us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, with all our might, with all our minds. And so, and wrapping this up, like Josiah, and again, Josiah, he was seeking after the Lord. He was cleansing from sin and from idol worship. He was building the place of the temple, the place of worship. He was celebrating the Lord, and the Lord Jesus is our Passover sacrifice for us. And I almost forgot, he had a humble heart before the Lord. What a life to aspire to live after. And indeed, we can only do this with the help of the Spirit of God in us. But when we live like Josiah, that is, when we love the Lord with our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, it will impact others in time, but for eternity. And we might not know the full extent of it now. We might not know the full extent of it until we're forever with the Lord, but let's aspire to live our lives as Josiah lives, seeking after the Lord, delighting in him, being cleansed from sin, being in place of worship in our hearts for the Lord. So let's seek after the Lord and for him first. May that be the aspiration of our hearts this morning. Might we do so with the heart that is humble before the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your eternal word forever settled in heaven, and that you've made this available to us in our own language, and that we can read of your ways and read of people like Josiah who sought after you with all their heart. And we pray that that would be the aspiration of our hearts, to seek you first, to seek you early, to delight ourselves in you. So we ask your blessing on us, and pray that we have purpose in our hearts to walk in a way that pleases you. And as we go forth this week, we pray that we would honor you in all that we say and all that we do.